Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high.
We are not high. Well, maybe we are. We're high on life. But no pills or extraordinary things. Although, when did I see? When we were talking about Chaka Khan earlier. Who, by the way, hello. I'm Doug. There's Jen in Victoria. Kara's at the controls of the studio in Washington. So Chaka Khan is going into rehab because she's in the same sort of shape as Prince was and felt that his lesson being taught was to be observed. And she's doing something about it, putting herself in. But we were all trying to figure out what it was that hurt on her, although she's overweight. What is there that is... Does anybody know what she's treating herself for or what?
No, I don't know why that she's on fentanyl. I haven't found anything about a surgery, but usually it's prescribed after a surgery, which is how it happened with Prince. So maybe she had some sort of a surgery some years ago.
Coming up in a few minutes, a thorough examination of TWA Flight 800 20 years ago this month. That 747 crashed. Almost on takeoff, off a Long Island Sound. It's been something that I have talked about. It's one of these things that so bothered me. I can still vividly remember waking up. I happened to be out here, as a matter of fact, at the time. That morning after, I think it was July the 26th, 1996, and seeing the plane or the remains of the plane in the water off of Long Island and then the whole business of what happened, the cover-up, and this fellow, Jack Cashel, has done a great service for all of us. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes about what he found out.
Truly, Dougie, I don't, I never knew it was a government cover-up until I started working with you, and you went, oh, this is the government. Yeah. Had no idea, and he calls this one of the greatest cover-ups, like, since JFK,
and I don't know this guy from Adam. I never heard of him before. I think Richie, as a matter of fact, found him, actually.
You found him,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
He sent a pitch, and I was like, oh, Doug would love this one.
Yeah, right. I do want to have this. Meanwhile, the big news from Framingham today is that the Board of Health is going to have a hearing about free-range chickens. Hmm. And so I started reading
that. Should be thrilling.
And I said, just before we went on the air, I said to Kara, Victoria and Jennifer, but Kara too, that we were having a board of chickens. We're going to have I just turned it around. But the silliest things happen. It's still, even though I'm in a suburban community, I still love the fact that there are animals and things that are coming before. These people don't know what to do because more and more people in town want to have chickens or goats, sheep, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And they're supposed to go before the Board of Health to get a permit. And I keep telling people to come around to see me, don't bother, just put them in your backyard. So the guy who's the chairman of the Board of Health at the last hearing on one of these things said, is it true that you were told by someone, because I had told him, the chairman of the board, that I told the guy, don't bother to go before him, you don't need
Uh-oh.
To. So he said,
are you now in trouble with the chicken police?
No. He said, did you get told not to bother to come to us? And the guy said sheepishly, yes, sir, one of the people that I talked to. And he laughed. And that is the guy in the Board of Health. Because they don't know anything about him. So how can you regulate something you don't know anything about? Leave him alone. Let him have his chickens. But it's,
you know, Dougie, that was an extraordinary story.
Anyway.
Don't be divisive, Doug. Don't try to separate the girls.
Okay, yeah. Would
lift
never
and separate,
do that.
Lift and separate.
So Congress this week is going to send to the president legislation which will combat heroin and painkiller abuse. And that was one of the reasons I brought up the Chaka Khan thing again, because there is this big argument or this whole business back and forth about what we do regarding this national problem. It really is. And I know the legislation, I don't see how legislation fixes it, frankly. I think what fixes it is education. And I don't see any of that
also,
in this bill.
I mean, with celebrities, think about, I mean, the prescription drug thing is huge, but with celebrities, think about how many people we've lost. I mean, there has to be some lessons, and that's one of the things that could carry over for people that are addicted. I mean, when you see Prince die, when you see Whitney Houston die, when you see Michael Jackson die, if you start telling those stories, I mean, maybe, like Chaka Khan, somebody will get the message and go, God, I don't want that to be me. But, man, how do you legislate something that's not legal in the first place? I mean, it's right. already illegal to do these drugs, so what are you supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good question.
Well,
all
it
right,
turns out
moment,
Chaka Khan and her sister are both going to rehab together to support each other for the same problem. So hopefully it'll work.
In a moment, we're going to meet Jack Cashel, who is the author of TWA 800, The Crash, The Cover-Up, and The Conspiracy. I think you'll find this extraordinarily compelling. That's up next here.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This flame-throwing all-star was one of the most dominant relievers during his career. He collected 314 saves in just 9 seasons and helped the San Francisco Giants win the 2002 National League pennant.
Double play, and this one is over! And Rob Nen with a big hug to Benito Santiago.
So where is Rob Nen now? After the 2002 World Series, Rob underwent multiple shoulder surgeries and rehab for 2 years. His hope was to keep playing, but he finally retired in 2005. Rob's been a spring training instructor and occasional front office assistant for the Giants, but mostly he works with kids, his own and the junior Giants.
It's definitely fun to give back to the kids and have a chance to be around them. They've given their support to us for so long, and I think now it's time for us to support them and help them any way we can.
A straight pitch from Rob Nen. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn. John Bramlett is an unusually gifted painter. He's also an inspiration to countless people.
Just after he turned 30, the lights went out. John went blind, and the cause is still unknown.
At first, he was sad, frustrated, and angry. He turned to painting, something he had always wanted to do.
That's when he made an amazing discovery. He says he sees better now than he did before.
He learned to distinguish colors by their feel. He developed his memory so he could picture the painting in his mind as he touches it with his hands.
You have gifts you may not even know about. You don't have to wait for a major life event to discover them.
But even adversity can lead to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Ever heard that old expression, everything's negotiable? Well, it's true, and more true than ever before. Here's the common sense and the social science of it. Difficult economic times calls for new coping strategies, and while some people find it distasteful to haggle over a price, nowadays it's expected. Department stores now allow their sales force to discount marked prices, but only if you ask for it. And get this, physicians, dentists, and other healthcare professionals will give you a discount, but you have to ask. Why? It's easier to take less money immediately than go through the ordeal of filing insurance and waiting for a little bit more cash. What's the cheap psychological trick? Ask for a discount and ye shall receive, but you have to ask nicely. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
15 after the hour, Jack Cashel is the author of this book in our focus, TWA 800. He has a PhD from Purdue, has written for lots of magazines, done a lot of investigating. When I saw this, it was so compelling to me, Jack, because I believe, and I've been saying this on the air for the 20 years since this happened, that this was nothing short of a cover-up. They never came out and said what the cause was. They didn't even really come out and say what it wasn't. I think I knew early on, or I felt very strongly very early on, about the laser story. What piqued your interest? Why did you decide to go down this street and check this out?
You know, Doug, I got started in an odd way, and that is I live in Kansas City, which is the home of TWA historically.
Right. Yep.
And I attended an event at which James Sanders spoke. He was the first reporter in on this to try to get at the truth. for which he and his wife Elizabeth were arrested and convicted of conspiracy, mm-hmm. as was the pilot who was their source within the investigation. And when I met Elizabeth, I said to myself, if the federal government is going to arrest someone this sweet, this kind, this nice, merely for introducing her husband, who's a reporter, to a pilot who's working the investigation, I thought there must be something more to the story than I originally thought there was. And that's begun like a 15-year quest to get at the truth, and we're there.
What did you know or think about the FBI? I can see the guy's face, but I can't remember his name. Who was the lead investigator?
Jim Kallstrom.
Kallstrom, right.
Right. When he got to Long Island that night, and the FBI seized control of the investigation. They did it illegally, but at least they did it publicly. What I've since learned, and in fact I learned this only recently because we just unearthed a treasure trove of CIA documents, is that the CIA also got involved on day one, and in reality, they seized control of the investigation from the FBI. Mm-hmm. Now, what the CIA was doing involved in this is another story. I mean, it makes no sense other than to their role from day one, as the memos clearly show, was to discredit the 750 eyewitnesses mm-hmm. who had spoken to the FBI.
By the way, this event is what destroyed, along with Carl, what's his face?
Icahn. Carl Icahn.
Yeah. These two events destroyed what I believe was, for my money at the time, the best American airline, the greatest, the most traditional. I loved a TWA. And it really bothered me that all the things that happened to it happened the way they did. What was the most surprising thing that you learned as you dug around in this that people would be shocked to hear?
I would say in the last 15 years, it's this. By the way, just for a quick recap for those who don't know, this plane was shot down off the coast of Long Island.
Right,
and
sorry.
In full view of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so astonishing, the enormity of this cover-up. I mean, just the very size of it.
Yeah. I talk about it so much, I forget the audience isn't as close to it as I am. So, TWA-800 had taken off from JFK on its way to Paris. The plane had come in from Athens the day before. They turn them around, clean them up, put them up there, and they wanted to have you believe that the plane blew up because there was some spark next to the fuel tank, which was the biggest load of manure. I mean, the things like that, they just don't happen.
They never happened before, and they haven't happened since.
No.
Here's the most shocking thing, Doug, and that's a good question. And I'll walk you through this. In 1995, the Deputy Attorney General, Jamie Gorelick, wrote a memo called The Wall. It's often called Gorelick's Wall. That wall prevented the CIA and the FBI from collaborating on national security issues. So in 2004, before the 9/11 Commission, person after another says, you know, he's asked, why did we allow September 11th to happen? They said the FBI and the CIA couldn't cooperate because of the wall. Mm-hmm. Well, as we know now, in 1996, Jamie Gorelick oversaw the collaboration of the FBI and the CIA on the subversion of the TWA-800 investigation.
Yeah.
In 97, she's rewarded for her performance with the most plum job in Washington, a job for which she has no experience. She's made vice chairman of Fannie Mae. Over the next 6 years, she'll make $25 million. Not bad for a lawyer with no experience.
Yeah.
In 2004, in an act of patriotism, she steps down to take a position on a 9/11 commission. It's left for John Ashcroft at the end of the hearings to point out, he says, you know, we've been talking about the wall for the last few weeks. It falls on me to tell you that the author of that wall memo is sitting on the 9/11 commission.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not an inside job,
it was for the same reason. And that's why the information is so relevant today, because there are all kinds of cover-ups. The government has control of so much information. And that's, I think, one of the many things that comes out of this book. TWA 800, The Crash, The Cover-Up, and The Conspiracy, written by Jack Cashel. Information that I wanted you to have and hear. That's why he was with us for this discussion, which will be podcast 21 after the hour.